So the reading is Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, and it's about Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. "By what power or what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but when God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord.
And the gospel reading is John chapter 14. Verses 1 to 7. Page 1082 of the New Testament. 1082. Jesus comforts his disciples. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am going. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, shall we, as we reflect briefly on that Acts passage. Lord, we thank you for these amazing stories from Scripture. These true stories that happen to people just like us. And we pray that you'll give us eyes to hear what you want to say to us now. That we'll live our lives for you as they did. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's such a privilege today to baptise you, Sean, and to reaffirm your vows with you, Alex. And just want to just say what a privilege it is to journey with you and so many others that have joined us in the last year, really. It's amazing who God keeps bringing and nudging to come, just like that's part of your story, Alex. And we as a church family are here to support you and we'll be praying for you, particularly in the coming weeks. And I want to just spend a few moments, not very long, reflecting on what we've learnt, what we've just heard read to us as we continue in the book of Acts this term. This passage that we've heard from Acts has some important things, I think, in for not just you and E2, Sean and Alex, but for each one of us today. And I want to just highlight three things that we can take away. Last week we had part one of the story, didn't we, that Paul shared with us. Just those of you who weren't here, a quick summary is that basically Peter and John were on their way to the temple. This is a few days after Pentecost, a few weeks after Jesus had ascended back into heaven. And on their way to the temple they came across a crippled man, a bit just like, I mean, imagine if we were on our way to the Priory. And actually, maybe there'd been a man, a paralysed man, begging outside the Priory for maybe 20 years. It had been well known to everybody in Malvern, the beggar, the crippled man outside the Priory. And it's a bit like that, but actually imagine us going to the Priory and just seeing him there and doing what Peter and John did. That's the sort of scene that there would have been. Peter and John turned up and they said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do, we'll give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk." And immediately this man was healed. And he went around leaping and praising God and going into the temple and bringing glory to God. And unsurprisingly, I mean, just imagine if this had happened at the Priory. Word would get round the town, wouldn't it? That actually this man who had been crippled and outside the Priory for 20 years, he's been healed. People would come flocking, wouldn't they? And they'd be asking, "What's gone on? What's the story here? What's happened? Who's behind this?" And that's what was happening here in this bit of Acts chapter 4. You see, word had got round. The crowds had began to gather. And they'd wanted to know what was going on. And Peter and John had been talking to the large crowd which had gathered. And what they'd said, more than anything, as a paraphrase, they said, "It's not about us." You see, they didn't take the glory and the plaudit for themselves, like some perhaps televangelists, big healers do these days. They didn't say, "It's not about us," but they pointed to Jesus. And the first thing I want to say today is this, that actually it's all about Jesus. You see, the most important thing wasn't actually that the healing had occurred, but it was the person who was behind the healing. The most important thing wasn't that a single man's life had been transformed that day, but actually that this Jesus, who'd been brutally killed on a cross a few weeks earlier, had come back to life, and that actually the story was this death and this resurrection of this person, Jesus, was there to transform the whole world. You see, those Peter and John were pointing to a much bigger story that day. They were pointing them to Jesus. And it's because of that that we're here celebrating the baptism of Sean and Alex today, and reaffirmation of Alex today. That's why in a minute we'll be gathering around the Lord's table and taking the bread and wine and remembering, because actually it's all about Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a man who lived and walked 2,000 years ago, who had wise teachings, who had did some good things, some kind things. I was in Malvern Wells School early on this week. Margaret and I were asking the children as a bit of an RE review, who is Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? And so many of their answers were, he was a kind man. He did some good teachings. Well, Jesus was so much more than that. You see, as we heard in our gospel reading, Jesus made some amazing claims. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. I am the way to God. It's through me that you can get to God. I show you the way to live. I'm the truth. Actually, when we see Jesus, we see the full truth. And I am the life. It's in me, in Jesus, that you find the fullness of life, life in all its fullness. And what we see here is that the disciples clearly believe that. For they, as it said, had been with him. They'd seen him perform miracles. They'd seen him calm the storm. They'd seen him die and then 3 days later rise up to life again. And they were willing to be put in prison and even die to tell the story to the world that this is true. That this man is the way, the truth, and the life. And here in verse 12 here, Peter makes an incredible claim. His own incredible claim, doesn't he? He says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name in heaven, under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. He says Jesus is the most important person in history. Jesus is the one who brings salvation, not because of anything we've done, but because of the cross and because of the resurrection. You know, we live in a world around us, don't we, which often says things like this, doesn't it, I think? It says, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It says, if it works for you, that's great, but it's not for me. Or all paths lead to God. All religions ultimately are leading to the same path. But isn't this so different to what Peter is saying here? He says, no, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is unique. Jesus is the way to finding salvation. We can't get to God by ourselves, but God in the person of Jesus has come to us to make the way to God. And actually, Peter had a mixed reaction that day, didn't he? A mixed reaction that actually so often we get here in the 21st century. There were some who rejected him completely. It talks about, doesn't it, the stone you builders rejected. So many had rejected Jesus, had rejected his claims. Hey, actually, we can't believe that, because actually we've got to earn our way. We've got to follow these rules to get back to God. That's the way we do it. That's what the Jewish authorities were saying. So they rejected Jesus and what he was saying. But on the other hand, actually, there were others who accepted and believed, weren't they? It talks about many, verse 4, many who heard the message believed. And the number of men, and it doesn't talk about the women and the children there, grew to about 5,000, from 3,000 on Pentecost. By this time, a few days later maybe, there were 5,000. Some rejected, but some believed. You know, Alex and Sean here are standing here to say, I'm in the camp of those who believe. I'm not in the camp of those who reject. I'm in the camp of those who believe, have turned my life around, and are wanting to follow Jesus. And most of us here probably have made that choice, haven't we? To follow Jesus, to believe, and to follow, and to say yes to Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. And second thing I want to say is this, that actually what else? Oh, I don't know. Okay. The second thing we see here, and I want to say to you two particularly, but to all of us, is that God wants to use little ordinary you, or perhaps big ordinary you in Alex's case. You know, it's not simply a case of believing and booking our place in heaven, thinking, right, I've ticked that box, I've said I believe, I'm going to go to heaven when I die, that's it, great, whoopee-woo. Actually, Jesus invites us to something more than that. He invites us to say, come and join in with what I'm doing. Come and join in the mission of Jesus. You know, right at the start of the book of Acts, it's written by Luke, and Luke writes to this guy called Theophilus, and right at the beginning of Acts he says, in my former book, that's Luke's gospel, this is Luke part 2, he says, I described all that Jesus began to do. And the implication is that in Acts, he's talking about all that Jesus continued to do, but not with Jesus in person, but through his followers, through his believers. And actually, Jesus invites each and every one of us to join in with what he's doing, to continue his mission. And I love what it says here when it describes, and Paul picked it up last week, when it describes Peter and John, that people said, they are just ordinary, unschooled men. Who feels ordinary here? I feel ordinary. And some of us will feel unschooled and uneducated as well. But the great news is that God uses ordinary men and women. God uses ordinary and uneducated men and women. We are here today because of ordinary, uneducated men and women decided to say yes to Jesus and to follow Jesus. And God can use any one of us. And why did God particularly use Peter and John? Well, I think there are two hints here. It says two things. Firstly, it says they'd been with Jesus. He said, if we want to be used by God, we need to be with Jesus. We can't be with Jesus in person like Peter and John did, but we can be with Jesus by reading his words, by praying, by spending time each day, by living our life each day with Jesus by our side. We can be people who've been with Jesus too. And secondly, they said that actually they'd received the Holy Spirit, hadn't they? And actually it talks here about the Holy Spirit just came upon them afresh. Peter, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke amazing words. You see, when we come to believe, we too are filled with the Holy Spirit. We can choose to be even more open to the Holy Spirit. And if we are people who have been with Jesus and are open to the Holy Spirit, then we can be little ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. It might mean praying for people and seeing God heal through our prayers. But it doesn't have to be those big things. That doing what Jesus did was actually showing acts of kindness to people, wasn't it? It was actually saying, I'm going to seek after those people who are excluded from society, who are on the edges of society, and I'm going to bring them into community. That's what we can do. It means we can show love and grace. It means we, like Jesus did, can forgive our enemies and see the ripples that leads to in our communities when we live a different way. We can actually, at Abbey House, be God's light to the other residents. To be prepared to say, actually, you know, I go to church and actually I've found something that's true and that makes a difference to my life. That's what you can do, Sean. Alex, when you're plumbing, you can be open to God's opportunities to use you with the different clients and the different people that you work with. See, all of those things, God invites us, little ordinary us, to do the things that Jesus did, to join in with his mission. And finally, thirdly, I just want to say this. It may not be easy, but stand bravely with God. You know, Peter and John that day, what happened when they stepped out and did the things that Jesus did? They got put in prison. They found opposition. They found people actually wanting to shut them up and wanting to stop them speaking of Jesus. You know, just becoming a Christian doesn't mean your life is sorted. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be sorted forever and all your problems are going to be solved. That's not how it works. In some ways, actually, it makes your life harder because you'll face new opposition. Because people reject Jesus and people now will reject Jesus just like they did then. And that's the reality, that we will face opposition. It won't be easy. Because the message of Jesus, that actually there is no other name by which we are to be saved than Jesus, is a controversial one. It's one which will divide. Some will reject, some will accept. And if we're finding we're not facing opposition to our message, then maybe we've not got the right message. So Sean, Alex, it's not always going to be easy to follow Jesus. And that's why we said those words when we signed you with the sign of the cross. We said this, we said, "Do not be ashamed of Christ. You are his forever." And then we all joined in and said, "Stand bravely with him against all the powers of evil and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life." You see, the temptation when opposition and persecution comes is to keep quiet and to shut up and hide away, to pull our heads down below the parapets, to make life easier for ourselves. Peter and John could have done that day, couldn't they? The authorities said, "Don't go round talking about Jesus anymore." And they could have said, "Okay, we've been told not to, we won't." But they said this, they said, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard." You see, they'd seen and heard so much of Jesus. They'd seen and experienced and encountered God and the truth, that they had to keep talking about it. And what we'll see next week is that after they were released, what they did is they went back immediately and they prayed with their fellow believers. And what they prayed was amazing. You know, what I think I'd have prayed is, "Oh, please protect us. Please help us. Please help people not to go and be nasty to us." But you know what they praised? They prayed that they'd be given even greater boldness to tell people about Jesus. But I want to stress there, the important thing is they went back into their community, back to their fellow believers, to support them on the journey. And you know, it is going to be difficult for you too. It's going to be difficult for all of us at times. But that's why we're not meant to do anything on our own. That's why Peter and John didn't go to the temple that day on their own. They didn't do this act together on their own. They did it together in pairs. There's a lovely phrase which I read in a book a few years ago, which talked about, find yourself a courage buddy in the gospel. I love that phrase, a courage buddy, who you can say, "You know, I'm going to step out, but I can't do it on my own. So will you encourage me? Will you pray for me? Will you be there when it gets tough to come back and say, keep going, keep doing it, keep speaking of Jesus?" We need to be courage buddies for each other in order to do the things that God has for us to do. Don't shrink back. Peter and John didn't shrink back. They didn't keep quiet, but they were determined, whatever the cost, to continue to be faithful to the Jesus who meant everything to them. So Sean, Alex, and everyone here, our invitation is to follow their example. Let us be people who make it all about Jesus and not about us. And not even about experiences and the amazing stuff. It's all pointing to Jesus. Let us be people who say, "I'm ordinary. I'm a nobody. But I want to be with Jesus. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm open to God using me." And when it does get tough, as it will, let's not be people who shrink back. But let's get alongside each other to be courage buddies for each other. And let's do what it says here, that we will be people who stand bravely with God, speaking still of Jesus, following Jesus wholeheartedly, whatever it may cost us. And let's just watch what Jesus can do when we're prepared to be open to that. I'd love us just to be quiet and still. And just maybe one of those, particularly, God wants to speak to you today. Maybe there are people here who just think, "I am ordinary and God can't use me." Well, he can. But be with him and be open to his Spirit. Maybe there's some here who are really having a tough time and actually have faced opposition and faced people giving them a difficult time, and actually maybe even you have shrunk back and you've stopped putting your head above the parapet. Or maybe Jesus wants to say, come and find a courage buddy today. And come out again. And stand tall again with me by your side. Just pray now what you want to pray. Ask him for God's help today. Thank you, Jesus, that it's all about you. Thank you that you use little, ordinary us. And thank you that we can be courage buddies for each other. That when it isn't easy, that we can stand beside each other and know that you are standing with us. And that we can bravely and boldly keep going to keep doing and being all that you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen.